We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Get ready.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes.
So ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio, and this is Overtime.
Okay, I'm ready.
Well, I can't speak for Hancock and Kelly, but I'm ready.
Let's go.
Ready? Ready?
I've never been ready. More ready in my life.
Ready, Freddie? Are you ready, John Hancock?
I'm ready.
Michael Kelly?
I'm ready. Why are there a bunch of tents out in... the
are you
of downtown
serious?
St. Louis?
Yeah. It's Taste of St. Louis.
Taste of St. Louis, buddy.
Cool. I thought that was out in Chesterfield.
No,
usually.
It's back.
Hey, now.
It's back and better than ever.
Hey,
yes, it is Taste of St. Louis, and it starts this afternoon. So people working downtown maybe want to just head on down, get some early dinner, hang out. It looks great, doesn't it? They got a ton of tents set up there. They're going to have, I think, more than 30 different restaurants, and they got that big stage set up, so there's going to be music and chef's challenges and stuff. So
I'm going to have to go.
Yeah, it's going to be a big weekend in St. Louis. There's all kinds of stuff going on.
Brewers are in town?
Yeah, it's one of those weekends where if you're bored, it's on you. It's your own fault.
Right.
And the weather's going to be pretty good, too. All right, last night, it was not such a good time, I guess, for some. There was a debate, in case you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen. The Democrats wanting to run for president, just 10 of them, though. Some of them have already dropped out. These were the 10 that were able to meet the threshold of whatever. What was it supposed to be? You had to get a certain amount of money and a certain amount of likes or
performance
something.
In the polling.
Yeah. So the leader, Joe Biden, of course, was getting attacked by his rivals last night on everything from healthcare to immigration. It showcased some ideological divides between the party's moderate and progressive wings. It was a primetime debate on ABC that also elevated some of the more struggling candidates, giving them a chance to introduce themselves to millions of Americans who, unlike many of us, are only just beginning to pay attention to this race. Let's start with you, Michael Kelly. Did last night's debate change the position of any of the frontrunners who would be Biden, Warren,
no, and
Harris,
Sanders.
Yeah, Sanders.
I don't believe it did. And, you know, I don't think we expected that would be the case. What I thought might be the case is you might have one of these lower tier candidates that would surge. And I don't know that anyone really made that kind of a movement. Now, Pete Buttigieg had a very compelling closing argument where he talked about why he, when he came out as being a gay man, which was very touching. Julian Castro maybe stumbled a little bit by really attacking Joe Biden and accusing him of something that later wound up to being not true, caused some groans in the room. But I think the three that are at the top remain at the top, and I don't think we had much movement last night.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, Beto O'Rourke went all in on gun confiscation, and that'll play to some of the Democrat base. And so he may see a bit of a bump here. The question is this going to be, by the time we get to Iowa, which is really around the corner, is this going to be a three-way race, or is Beto or Cory Booker, who also had a pretty good night, are they going to turn it into a four-way or five-way race as we head into Iowa? But in terms of the front runners, there was nobody made any major gaffes. I did get a kick out of Joe Biden saying we ought to turn the record players on for the kids.
I'll turn the records on.
The what,
the
sir?
The record players. But I
vinyl,
guess the,
baby. That's well, happening the
hipsters,
with the millennials these days.
Yeah, the hipsters like that retro stuff. So maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe it was on purpose.
See, I think I keep hearing people saying that Castro stumbled, but for the millions of people who didn't watch the debate last night and only will hear clips of it in the news, because he attacked Biden, that's the clip that gets played all the time. So if you are the lower tier candidate, he just got the most play in the news all morning.
Yeah, but
long.
I don't know if it's a play that the way that it's being couched on the news, that it, you know, there was an obvious groan that happened in the places, that it's actually benefiting the way that he would hope. Again, I think it's status quo. It looks like the Democrats are running to stand still. I don't think there was much change.
Yeah. It was a calculated risk by Castro. I don't think it'll pay off. My favorite moment of the debate, though, was our good friend Andrew Yang. So, you know, he's got this plan to give everybody $1,000 a month when he becomes president. So
his
big announcement last night was that he is going to start the process and he's going to pick 10 people and give them $1,000 a month for a year out of his campaign funds. That's what he's going to do. And somebody tweeted, well, isn't that unusual, a Democrat giving away other people's money?
I actually am interested to hear the end of his experiment, though. I mean, it'd be interesting to hear what happens to these 10 families.
It is so contrary to the idea of America.
Does $1,000 a month, is that really going to make a huge difference for you?
It doesn't matter. That truly is socialism. If we were to have some type of universal income, I think the Republicans abuse this word socialism as it relates to healthcare and stuff. But universal income like that is socialism. And I think it's so contrary to what the idea of America is. And, you know, this is what's happening in our parties. We just have seen people.
Let me put a big salute on you there, Kelly.
Oh, come on, dude. But we've seen Donald Trump's been violating the idea of what America is. So we have craziness happening on both sides of the election. But fortunately, I have the backbone as a Democrat to stand up and call it out on my side.
Well done. Very well done.
Yeah, and I'll be interested to listen in later in your show, you guys, when you're talking about the states that are now canceling their Republican primaries, because I am interested in that as well. The president has several challengers, and now states are like, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, we're
just going to cancel those
talk
primaries.
About the historical context, but you know, the Republicans are spending a lot of time talking about socialism. This is authoritarianism, where you're going to eliminate an election. It's the most undemocratic thing. We'll wait and see how John Hancock dances around that one.
It's 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with John Hancock and Michael Kelly. This seems to be an unfortunate pattern in St. Louis, especially this summer. Another deadly day yesterday for St. Louis area kids. A 13-year-old boy killed in a shooting in the Spanish Lake area. And we do have word this morning that someone has been arrested for that, an 18-year-old. A 3-year-old boy, however, also dead following what is believed to be an accidental shooting in North St. Louis County. They believe this 3-year-old found a gun in the bedroom. His mom and dad were home and accidentally shot himself. This follows an accidental shooting of, I believe, a 5-year-old in South City just 2 days ago. Michael Kelly, are you concerned that guns have become so commonplace that people are just leaving them laying around?
Do you think I have a strong opinion on guns, Debbie?
I don't know.
Two things that are of note here. Number one is we've spent a lot of time talking about crime, and it usually gets focused on the city of St. Louis. Both of these stories have taken place in St. Louis County. I think that's important for us to all realize, because a lot of times people are trying to say that the crime problem is just a city problem. That's not the case. This is happening. Look, what else is there to say about guns? We live in a state that has legalized them to the nth degree. And as a result, we have these terrible tragedies that are going on with young people. There's no justification for it. We just had a special session for the special interest in Jefferson City to take care of some people who buy and sell boats and cars. But babies dying on the streets in St. Louis, we don't have time for it.
Well, there's nothing what are you going to do here? This is irresponsible parenting. Who leaves a loaded gun out accessible when you've got young children in the house? I mean, no gun law is going to solve that problem. That's
apparently
bad.
A lot of people do, because this seems to be happening quite often.
Responsible gun owners, I mean, that is an irresponsible gun owner. Now, we don't know whether this was a legal gun or an illegal handgun. But the other point I want to make here, in all this talk about assault weapons, by far, more people die in this country at the hands of handguns. Handguns.
We should
kill.
Get rid of those too.
Okay, there you go. So that my point is, you know, you can focus on assault weapons. Not going to solve either of these problems. You know, the better course of action is to go after people who illegally possess guns, and if we would focus on that, then you could maybe make a dent in some of this.
Do you guys
stuff.
Get my point, though? I mean, we've had a lot of focus, particularly from the Post-Dispatch, on really this crime narrative and really focused on the city of St. Louis. These are two issues that took place in St. Louis County.
Well, St. Louis County has a crime problem.
Yeah.
No question.
The entire
about
region
that.
Does.
Yes, absolutely. Now, the 3-year-old shooting, though, entirely preventable with responsible parenting. Entirely preventable.
Now, when you talk, though, about responsible gun owners, we no longer require anyone to take a class. We no longer require a permit. You can just go get your gun. So what if people had to take a class? Because if you're going to drive a car, you take a class, you take a test, you have a driver's license. What? Why not do that with guns to sort of emphasize responsible gun ownership?
Fine, but it's pretty much common sense. If you got a three-year-old child wandering about the house, you don't leave a loaded gun.
Well, but maybe we need to have classes. I mean, I know you cavalierly say, okay, fine, but Debbie makes an excellent point. When we have people who come of a certain age, they can get behind a wheel, which is a machine of a car that can kill people. And we have this process to make sure that folks are educated. We've decided in our infinite wisdom in this backward state that, you know, just grab a gun. Who cares? You're 18. It doesn't matter. That's, you want to talk about irresponsible? That's irresponsible.
Well, it's a lack of, you don't leave a loaded handgun in a house with a young child out in the open, accessible. I mean, that's just common sense. You don't need to go to class to know that.
All right, let's talk about this. Is this common sense? What is going on with the latest repeal of an Obama-era regulation? Yesterday, the Trump administration announced the repeal of a clean water regulation that had placed limits on polluting chemicals that could be used near streams, wetlands, and other bodies of water. Overhauling this rule had been a central campaign pledge for President Trump, who characterized it as a federal overreach that impinged on the rights of farmers, rural landowners, and real estate developers to use their property as they see fit. I believe the repeal and announcing a new rule was done at like the National Association of Manufacturers or something yesterday. John, what's going on with this and what was the problem with it?
Well, on its face, it sounds really bad, doesn't it?
It is.
But there's more to this story. I wish I knew what more to the story was, but there's more to this story. And it has to do with private property rights. My suspicion is that the chemical release is illegal, whether this regulation is in place or not, and that what this really was a federal takeover of private property. But I don't know that for a fact. That's my suspicion, because on its face, this sounds terrible.
So one of the things that Republicans always argue is regulation affects business and hurts the economy. Geez, oh, Pete, we have the greatest economy in the history of this country. It's not been affected by us being good stewards and making sure that we're not dumping chemicals into our rivers and streams. Why? I get it. He campaigned on this and people think this is a good idea. How can you think it's a good idea to allow people to put contaminants in our water?
Well, it's not a good idea to allow people
to put contaminants
in the water.
Then why roll back these regulations? It's not affecting the economy, John Hancock.
My point is that I believe dumping chemicals in water is illegal with or without this particular regulation, because it doesn't make sense to me that the government would say, okay, dump chemicals in water.
Well, you are allowed
to
put a certain amount of chemicals into a water after it's been treated and stuff. That's going to roll back some of those provisions. For what purpose? To make the economy better? It can't get any better. Why can't we just be good stewards and people of God and take care of the planet that we were given?
There's more here, and I wish I knew what it was, but I don't.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll have to take your word for it. It's 8:48, and we'll take a break here and return with round three of OT. A little Depeche Mode to kick off round three of OT. It's 8:52. I'm Debbie Monterey along with Hancock and Kelly. And this is an interesting new study by Cornell University that says one reason marriage rates are down nationwide is because prospective husbands can't provide enough financial security. The researchers say one explanation for declines in marriages is the putative shortage of economically attractive partners for unmarried women to marry. Michael Kelly, do you think marriage rates could possibly be going down because women who are earning a good living don't want to marry a man who's economically unattractive?
I'm not married because I'm just a working stiff with no cash.
Yeah, right.
That's just the way that it is. I don't know if you've ever been to Lake of the Ozarks and see these old men driving these boats with these young gals on it. I think there's enough economically attractive men out there.
So you're saying if you're a young woman making a living, you got to marry an old guy with a boat?
Well, you got to find that guy that's maybe got a couple of bucks in his pocket.
You know, it's the old 1 to 10 scale. You know, and with women, it's their appearance. It's a 1 to 10, and we've been doing that for since the dawn of mankind. For men, it's an addition situation. So there's a visual appeal component to the 1 to 10, and then there's the economic appeal component. So a guy can be a 1 in terms of looks, But an eight, in terms of economics, he's a nine, right? or a guy can be an eight in terms of looks, and a one in terms of economics. He's a two. So, I mean, that's just kind of the way it works. A little education for everybody out there.
Okay.
Happy to help.
He's full of facts today. Let's talk about this fact. Maybe this plays in as well. The latest adult obesity numbers are out, according to the Trust for America's Health.
Could have gone all day without talking about this.
Which state has the most obese residents, do you think? Not the most, but which has more, Missouri or Illinois?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Missouri.
Michael?
Well, I'm going to say Missouri, I think, is probably significantly obese compared to Illinois.
Do tell.
Missouri weighs more than Illinois. According to the Trust for America's Health, Missouri has the ninth highest obesity rate.
Wow.
At 35%. Illinois is 24th most obese at just under 32%.
You know, if you doubt this study, just go stand in line at Six Flags to wait to ride one of those rides. Go down to Branson.
Here's what they're doing out there. It's a conspiracy. They keep lowering the bar for obesity. You know, used to be you had to be, you know, a big old hippopotamus to be considered. No, now, you know, you can be a little on the chubby side and they're calling you obese. They've changed the standards out there. It's wrong.
They have not changed the standards.
Oh, yeah, they've been loosening the standards.
Just look around, John. There, you just need your eyeballs to call
large
this
mammals.
One.
We're doing it.
Next topic.
All right. Well, if you are large, you will be able to fit into one of the gondolas at the St. Louis Wheel, because I believe, and I'm just guessing, that they fit at least six people, maybe more if you're small. And have you seen this when you come in at night?
Beautiful.
Or I see it in the morning.
Lit up.
It is all lit up. It's so cool. It just, I don't know. It makes me happy just to see it. It seems so festive. Have you noticed it, John, or not?
Oh, it looks beautiful. Okay. Well, you got the big wheel out there.
It's right next to Union Station. You cannot miss it. And it's opening a day earlier than initially said. So September 30th. It's going to be a 15-minute Ferris wheel ride. Oh, it says it features eight passengers. That's probably eight. I don't know. I don't know how they size those passengers. Anyway, it's fairly roomy. Climate controlled, so nice. It's going to be open year-round, so it'll have heat and air conditioning, and have an amazing view of the city that'll stretch for nearly 20 miles. Ticket prices, $15 for adults and $10 for kids ages 3 to 12.
Mm. You don't have to pay by the pound, though.
No, you do not.
You know, I walked into the pod on the Arch a couple of weeks ago, and people looked at me like they were watching a horror movie. I walked in to sit down.
In the Arch pod?
Yeah, the Arch pod. Not a lot of room to move around in that thing.
Yeah, the prices are pretty similar, whether you're going to go up in the Arch or do a ride on the St. Louis Wheel.
Cool.
But anyway, are you going to do it? You're going to go up in the wheel?
Sure, I'll do it once, just like the Arch. Sure. Thanks to the O'Loughlins for what they're doing. For
absolutely.
Tonight.
You know what I'm doing tonight?
What?
The Darkness. It opens tonight, Friday the 13th.
Who wants to get
me,
to get
my whole family. We're so excited.
I don't want to watch scary movies.
It's 8:56.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.